Hey, so this is Steve Keats from Fire on the Mountain Radio, OWWR, every Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m. at OWWRNY.org, and a podcast at FOTMradio.podbean.com. And we are fortunate to get to spend a few minutes with Reed Mathis. Say hello, Reed.
Don't tell me what to do.
Ah.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. So Reed is with us, and Reed, as we know, is right now in at least two bands that are hitting the festival scene this summer. He's in Billy and the Kids with Billy Kreutzmann, and he's a Golden Gate Wingman, which is just starting to get popular. And you know, the two gigs that we're most interested in, being East Coast people, are the Golden Gate Wingman in the Cutting Room, which is in June 12th, and the Cutting Room seems to be starting to pick up on the jam scene, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah,
right? And right with Moon Alice coming up on May 16th, which is also a cool band. Well, I'm sure you know
right
them.
On, yeah.
Right?
And John Nolo, dude. I mean, you know, Barry Sleck. Those are some great players.
Hey, Reed, a couple of years ago, I walked outside of the Westin St. Francis, and Moon Alice was just playing in Union Square, so that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember when they did that. That's right. Cool.
And then the other gig we're looking forward to is Gathering of the Vibes, and Reed's been in Gathering of the Vibes in Connecticut a number of times, and maybe with a different band every time, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So, right, Reed? So, tell us...
Yeah, I think so.
Right, so, Reed, tell us where it all began, how we got to today.
Oh, wow. What does that mean?
I don't know. I was playing the playing the Tonette. All right. So when did you first get into music?
When did I first get into music? Oh my goodness! I mean, in the womb, probably. My parents are musicians. Both my parents are musicians, and their parents are musicians, and my aunts and uncles are musicians. And so, I mean, you know, I got into music the same way I got into using a fork.
Very cool.
You know,
Was it rock and roll, or was it country? What were they into?
They're all classical musicians to a man, slash woman. So yeah, I grew up with orchestral music and choral music in my house, and then Top 40 radio, and then sort of like metal and punk music, and then psychedelic rock, and then sort of like fusion jazz, and then bebop jazz, and then early jazz, and then electronic music and hip hop and reggae, and then, you know, various world musics, African music, Indian music. And then I guess like sort of country Americana, and then most recently Grateful Dead.
Very cool. Now I know you play a few instruments. Do you have a favorite instrument?
Oh, the bass guitar, no question.
Yeah. And you've come up, and your strumming style is pretty different. Did you come up on that on your own? Did you like some of the jazz players?
Like strumming, you mean like my right hand?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty recent. You know, I started playing bass in 1989, and I managed to play for 20 years just using my fingers, real traditional. When was it? I guess it was in about 2009. I started getting friendly with the Fish guys, and I spent a week up in Burlington making a record at the barn, making a Paige McConnell record.
Great.
And then going after we would record all day, then I'd go over to Gordon's house, and we would just sort of hang out and play in the basement. And you know, I had just never used a pick before, and hanging out with him and watching him play up close, you know, just was fascinating. He didn't play like anybody I'd ever known. So, you know, I just started experimenting with it. And he plays like mostly upstrokes, which is rare. And you know, I kind of started playing bass in more of like a Metallica situation, and, you know, real aggressive up the downstrokes. And so it just sort of ended up being this sort of oscillating thing. I don't know. I mean, actually, the player who, I mean, Gordon is why I started experimenting with a pick. But the player who really defines my technique is Eddie Roberts. You know Eddie Roberts?
Where's he from?
He plays guitar in the new Master Sound.
Right.
I play with him occasionally, and his right hand stuff is like, I've never seen anybody play a guitar like that. So, you know, and also I always think of this one clip of Jimi Hendrix at Monterey in 67. I used to have that on VHS and I just wore it out. I watched it literally hundreds of times. And he opens with the song Killing Floor, and he just starts by himself without the band, just guitar, there's a spotlight on him. And he's like doing this right hand thing that's just like, I always think of that. That's what I'm trying to do, is Jimi Hendrix playing Killing Floor.
That's a good goal, right?
Yeah.
So you've played so many of these festivals around the country. Is there any favorite festival for you, for the way they treat the artists, or and some fun stories about being at the festival?
I mean, you know, it's always awesome. It's just an amazing phenomenon of this time and place. But I'd have to say that the High Sierra Festival in California always feels the most like family. Like that's where I feel like I know like everybody. You know,
yeah.
And that was like one of the first festivals where I really felt welcomed. And, you know, there's always so many great players and they do all these workshops and it's just everybody's fitting in together. And, you know, it's almost like a lot of the same musicians that are playing there this year are people that I met there 15 years ago. You know, it just really feels like a real family community situation every year. So I have a real soft spot for High Sierra. But, you know, and they're all amazing.
Did you play Lock-In last year?
I did not play Lock-In last year, but I'm playing this year.
Yeah, that's for those of us who didn't quite get our Grateful Dead Soldier Field tickets. Lock-In, I think, is as close as we're going to get to that, but I guess we'll have to get on with that. But Lock-In, I think, what is it, Pete Shapiro, I think his goal is to try to get everybody to play together, right?
Right, that's what I gather. I mean, I was asked to do it last year with Bill, but I was already booked elsewhere, so I couldn't do it. But it sounded like a great time.
Yeah, no, everybody enjoyed it. There, you know, I think some of my friends who were there particularly love String Cheese, and the fact that String Cheese is coming out to the Vibes this year, and you since you obviously keep up on everything, you saw that they have Grisman coming in.
No way, really?
Yeah. Oh,
I love
Christmas. Yeah. They're going to do like an Old and In the Way kind of set, so that'll be fun. Last year you were with Keller, right?
Yeah.
That was fun too. And
Jeff Austin.
Yeah, that to me that was one of the highlights. You know, last year we've been going to Vibe since it came down to Connecticut, and you know, last year was the first year without any Grateful Dead guys, you know, but your show, right? Your show was great, you know.
But Billy and Mickey.
Oh, you're right. Billy and Mickey did Disco Biscuits, but that got a little late for everybody. For the, you know, you're right. I forgot about right. No Bob. First time, no Bob, no Phil. The first few years they were like, first Bob, then Phil, then Bob, then further, right? And now we're on to the next. I think that they're going on to the next generation. Did you ever see the Dead as the Dead?
No. I mean, I grew up in Tulsa, and they didn't come. They didn't play Oklahoma, you know.
So then,
and I never had any money to go travel, you know. So, I never saw them. Never saw them.
I think you were busy practicing. I think you were busy practicing the other instruments.
Yeah. And, I mean, gigging, you know, I started playing professionally when I was, like, 15 or something. So, you know, I've never really been able to just check out a lot of bands. Like, I've just been on the road literally for 20 years full time. So the only bands I've checked out are bands that I'm on the bill with, like at festivals or something. Although, I must say, in recent years, since I moved to San Francisco, there's always so much good music here that I find myself going out a lot and checking out music. And that's really nice because when I lived in Tulsa, they're just, I mean, there's lots of good musicians there, but they're all local. Like, you can't really check out traveling musicians that much. So that's been a really nice change for me.
Are you you're living in the city?
Yep.
Yeah, it's, I worked out there for a couple of years. It's pretty cool. And
oh, yeah, I love it so much.
Yeah. You know,
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's New York.
Last night I was hanging out with Victor Wooten until 1 a.m.
Very cool.
You know, it's just like that doesn't happen in Oklahoma, you know, like
yeah, everybody tries to have a scene, but you're not going to find folks like that. And I guess probably whenever you feel like it, you jump in an Uber and go to Phil's place.
Oh yeah, there's always something happening at Terrapin, you know, 7 nights a week. It's rad. You never know who you're going to run into. You know, I always end up sitting in with somebody, you know. It's an incredible... Phil is actually really blessed this community over the last few years. Like, almost single-handedly is manifesting a healthy music community. It's very local and very, inclusive. It's really amazing. Really, really amazing.
It looks like it's just all about, you know, what is it, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding, right? You just come in, hang out, play, see who's playing. You know, I thought it was
so
welcoming.
So easy, you know, and they just asked me what I feel like doing. They're like, hey, what's your May looking like? You want 2 or 3 nights? How many nights do you want? What do you want to do? Do you want to do a Bob Dylan night? Do you want to do a night of your own stuff? What do you feel like doing? And I'll be like, I don't know. Let's, lose around and we'll just put together a band. It's not like you have to be a band to play there. Like, we just put a group together. Like, hey, are you free on Friday? Cool, let's go to Terrapin, you know?
Well, that was that night, right? It was like, first it was you, Ross, and Stu.
Yeah.
Right? And that was amazing. And then an hour later, you had the electric band. With Stu's friend, the Mad Hatter over there, you know, the keyboard guy, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's ask this one. So what do you think, are you going to go to the Dead show? Did you arrange that?
Bill asked me if I wanted to come and hang out, and honestly, I think it's going to be a clusterfuck. I mean, can I say that? It's just going to be a zoo. I mean, that doesn't sound like my kind of scene. So I actually said, that's okay. You know, and then I just got a call from JK, and it turns out I am going to go to Chicago and play like an after show with Jay Lane and Jeff.
With the Golden Gate.
With him, John. Yeah. It's not the wingman because Jeff's going to be busy, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to use Rob Baracco.
That's fantastic.
It turns out I'm going to be there anyway. So I probably will pop in and catch one of the nerds. But I think they're coming out here, too. So
I think that it was marketed. We'd like Grateful... I think both of us, Reed, would like Grateful Dead stuff to be pure. But, you know, the marketing was, this is the only time ever. And then there'll be...
I don't know what pure even means, though. What does that mean?
That, you know, this is it. Go to this show, send your money in or not. But there's going to be West Coast. It's going to be too amazing to just end after 3 days, you know?
Yeah, of course. But, it's also a huge undertaking for them. So, whatever you want, we want to have a good time. But more important for me is that those four guys have a good time. That's the highest priority. Because it's their life, it's their legacy, it's their music. You know what I mean? So if they want to play the 30 minutes and call it a day, that's fine. That's their prerogative. If they want to do a 2-month tour, that's fine too. It's their music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're just they're sharing it with us a bit, right?
Yeah, like whatever they feel like doing. It's their, they've earned it. I mean, after 50 years and everything they've been through, they've lost best friends. They've had ups and downs personally. It's hard to keep a friendship healthy over that many years and that many personal changes. And, whatever sounds fun to them is what they should do. They should not feel beholden to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've earned the right to do exactly what they want to do.
You know, that's the truth. So, do you have an opinion on this? Why do you think there seems to be an incredible amount of Grateful Dead action besides the 50th anniversary? You know, I was just lucky enough, Reed, to hang out in Florida, and like there were three for a month, and there were like three or four cover bands roaming around. Dark Star sold out two shows. You know, in this Long Island area, any Friday night, Saturday night, there's two or three different bands to see. Why do you think it's so hot right now?
I think it's just, you know, the natural course of things. I mean, you know, that music, that songbook, and that sort of dialect has just become really pervasive. I think there's just a lot of people that, you know, sort of speak that language with their ears or with their instruments, and it's a functional model. Like, it's something that everybody can get with, you know, like, you know, in the 40s, you know, all these super abstract jazz musicians, Charlie Parker and Thelonious Monk and all those guys, were changing the world, but they were playing the music of Gershwin and Cole Porter and, you know what I mean? Like, and the reason they were doing that is because everybody knew those songs. Everybody felt included in those songs. So these abstract experimental musicians could play that music their way and still include the audience. And that's why Grateful Dead music is so applicable in so many situations, because there's room for you in it. Like, when I play Grateful Dead music, I don't play it in character. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the Phil character in a Dead band. I'm me. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to. Like, if you're going to play Beatles, if you're going to be a Beatles band, you kind of have to be those guys. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you end up doing an impression, you know, an impersonation. But in Grateful Dead music, you don't have to do that. You can be yourself. There's room for you. I mean, a lot of people do, you know, there's so many guitar players that are like, go and gift like guitars that look just like Jerry's, and they play those licks and whatever. And that's okay. You know, I'm not putting that down, but that's reenactment. And the great thing about improvising is that it's the opposite of reenactment. It's truth-telling. It's soothsaying. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why this music is not ever going to die. It's because there's room for every new generation to speak it. And it won't become old. It won't become like an orchestra playing Beethoven. You know what I mean? It's every generation can be themselves within this music. So, you know, it's hippie jazz.
Awesome. Hippie jazz, right? Hippie jazz. You know, I was playing, this is what, you know, one of these days we'll actually try to get you to check out my show, but you know where the podcast can be found. So I was playing, I think Phil from like March 15th at his like Phil, you know, Phil's birthday show. And I was playing some tune, and it was starting to sound to me more and more like Bitches Brew. So I went on the computer while I was doing the show live, read, and I clicked on Bitches Brew, and I was like, well, I guess we're all going to listen to Bitches Brew instead of the rest of that Phil song. But he's just getting and also the jam you guys did in the Billy and the Kids, the rock and roll, what is it, Rock and Roll Pneumonia, Boogie Woogie.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, the jam you guys did on that, I mean, you were getting close to Velvet Underground on that, so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I think we know that, you know, I think you from your comments, one of my questions was, what do you think the Dead scene is going to be like in 10 years? And I think I'll let you answer.
Oh, I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I never have predicted what's happening right now. So, you know, that's the fun of it. You don't want to know what's coming ahead. That's the whole point. And, you know, when you're playing chess and it becomes clear who's winning, the game's over. Like, you don't go ahead and finish.
Yeah, but, you
don't want to know what's coming.
Yeah, I hear that. Right. But I sort of, as a joke, refer to Golden Gate Wingman as like further. Right? You guys are, it's got a lot of further in it. Right? What do we got? Two, three guys from further, and you.
Oh, It doesn't. We don't speak the same dialect, Bill. That band had its own vibe, and there's doesn't sound much like that to me. But there are a couple of guys that were on that stage.
Yeah, but I think you guys are setting it up nice for, let's call it any eventuality. You know, if any of these guys shut down, right? So thank
you. I mean, we're really just friends. Like, we just want to hang out and play. Like, it's really not. There's no real mission statement or anything. It's like, we honestly just, like, the four of us, you know, I've known those guys for years, you know, I've known JK for 15 years.
Yeah.
And every time we bump into each other, we're always like, when are we going to play? And then, you know, when John found himself with free time, he was just like, now's the time, let's do it, let's play. We've been talking about it for years. So it's really just for fun. I mean, we're surprised that we just get a tour and, like, six of the seven nights were sold out, you know, way ahead of time. And we were like, what? Like, we can't believe people are like, because, I mean, we just want to do it. We just want to have fun and play. And, like, the fact that the community came out and was so enthusiastic and we were, like, kept having to add a second night here and a second night there to, like, come, you know what I mean? Because people were matching up all the tickets. It was like, whoa, there's people want this. People are ready for this. It was very surprising to all of us. Because we thought it was, like our Monday night poker game. Like, you know what I mean? We thought it was just like, we're just going to get together and jam, like, for fun, you know? And then it turned into this thing that actually people could use, you know? So that's great.
Hey, look, Reed, it's great, great songs and great musicians, and the places that you are playing are all, you know, accessible, fun spots. So, you know,
yeah,
rock and roll, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot of them. Right before you called, I was on my email, and we're booking, man. There's so many offers around the country for the Wingman. I'm amazed. You know, the booking agent's just like, you can't keep up with it with all the people asking us to come play. So it's amazing. It's righteous. We're gonna play a ton this summer.
Well, there's a place you should look for. Did they talk to you about a place in Manhattan outside?
I don't know.
I'll send you the name of this place. Last year we saw Trigger Hippie at this place, and this year Keller is playing at this place. I'll send you the name of this place. There's not a lot of places that it's a bar with a cool stage, great sound, and the backdrop is the East River. So I think you guys would have fun over there. So I'll send you that place, and I will say this has been amazing, Reed. You're all the Fire on the Mountain fans are big fans of Reed and whatever Reed is up to. So we appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for taking the time today, Reed, and we'll be in touch. Thank you, Reed.
Yeah, it's an honor. Thanks for what you're doing, man.
We'll see.
Music alive.
Hey, you know, man, we'll do it. We'll do it like they do on the commercial radio. June 12th, the Cutting Room sold out. Try to go to StubHub, and July 31st or so, Gathering of the Vibes, Billy and the Kids. Thank you, Reed Mathis.
Yep.
Thank you, Reed Mathis.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
See you later. Okay.